May God's grace and His peace be multiplied among us through His Son, Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Today, as it's Mother's Day, I chose another text, also from the Gospel of John, but now the 19th chapter, verses 25 to 27. But standing by the cross of Jesus were His mother and His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing nearby, He said to His mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then He said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Dear friends, this is our text. Before we get right into the text, though, two prefatory words. First, mothers, we thank you and we acknowledge your sacrifice today. Your lives have often been about providing what others need to live and to grow, and it's easy to take that sacrifice for granted. And so, today, we set this time aside. We consecrate this time. It is a holy time. We stop and linger around this concept, this gift that God has written into the creation, that part of the way God has made us to be in the world, all of us who live and breathe and move in it have mothers. And so we recognize you and we thank you today. That's the first prefatory word. And the second prefatory word is this. I want to be open and transparent to say that I am less qualified than many to speak about motherhood. Of course, half or more than half of the population is. Not being a mother myself, I speak with humility and deference to those who are mothers today. And yet, I strive to honor you today. I strive to articulate and perhaps to take reference from the Gospel of John here in recognizing what motherhood does and is in our culture, in our frame of reference. There have been two relationships, two mothers that I've been able to observe, of course, in my life, beyond many of those who I've been able to observe at a distance. My own mom, Linda, who raised me and who sometimes listens to the recordings that Brian makes. I have a feeling she'll probably listen later on this week. And so I acknowledge her gifts and her motherhood. And then, of course, Andrea, who I'm married to, who I see in action more frequently as a mother to our own three children. So, prefatory comments aside, we have this text. This text, this powerful moment, this detail in the crucifixion account, this moment when Jesus, in the middle of His own deathly agony, in the middle of His own great pain and burden, recognizes His own mother, notices the agony of His mother Mary standing at the foot of the cross. The text says that she's standing with perhaps as many as four others, her sister, one of them, Mary, the wife of Clopas, another Mary called Mary Magdalene, and then also this disciple, referred to here as the one that Jesus loved. It's a bit of a cryptic title, usually the title that the author of the Gospel of John uses for himself. And so there was this little community around the base of the cross, which included Jesus' own biological mom. It's a powerful moment when Jesus notices His mother there, standing by, close, watching. And He says this incredible statement, "Woman, behold your son." I want to pause on those words for just a moment today. This is really the text within the text. Woman, behold your son. And then its complement, behold your mother, those words spoken to the disciple. But first, behold your son. Woman, behold your son. Like many of Jesus' statements, we could meditate, we could contemplate about these words for a long time. There is much here to notice. Mary has been beholding her son since the day he was born, of course. Beholding him grow and learn, much like you, mothers, have beheld your own children, holding them literally in your arms right from the moment of their birth, all the way up through childhood and adolescence, and as they grow in independence, and even as they become independent from you, you behold them, sometimes from near, sometimes from afar. Mary has been beholding Jesus grow in wisdom and stature. We have just a couple of inklings of what Jesus' childhood was like, but we get from those the sense that he was unique, and yet he was a child, and he did need parenting. Perhaps despite what the famous Christmas carol says about the crying that Jesus may or may not have made in the manger, we know that Jesus grew. We know that he needed to be taught, and that he needed to be instructed and guided as he grew. So Mary has been beholding her son from the moment of his birth and watching now recently as he's launched into public ministry, as he's begun his life's work, that purpose for which he was sent, and as he has made choices that have led him straight into danger. Now this is important, isn't it? It's a mother's instinct to protect her kids from danger. I wonder how many times Mary had to restrain herself as she watched Jesus making the choices that would lead him straight into the conflict that eventually ended his life. I wonder, as she watched Jesus coming face to face with the powers that be, those religious bigwigs who felt so threatened by his new message, and as he challenged them right to their very existence, right to their very right to be in the place which God had put them, did Mary sometimes grit her teeth and bite her tongue and say, "His ways are not my ways"? I wonder how many times she would have wanted to warn Jesus that what he was doing was dangerous. And no doubt she sensed that he was getting himself in over his head, and especially then in these last couple of days, as the events which unfolded, which led to Jesus' final passion, as his arrest and his suffering and his betrayal and his false trial and his torture and now his crucifixion have unfolded before her eyes. Mary's role was to watch and to pray and to behold. "Woman, behold your son," Jesus says, as she is doing. If part of Mother's Day is recognizing the unique plight of mothers around the world, if part of Mother's Day is recognizing and naming just what motherhood looks like, then here is good news for you mothers. Jesus sees you. Just as he saw his own mother there, standing at the foot of the cross, just as he was familiar with the intimate contents of her heart in that moment, he sees you in your struggle, in your life, and in your joy, and in your pain today. He sees you in your victories and your failures, the parts of the day that everybody celebrates that are post-worthy that you might Instagram or Facebook about, and also the parts of your day that you don't bother to explain to anyone, especially not your husband or your children, because you know that they just won't understand. Jesus sees you, and he likes what he sees. Jesus smiles upon your life of motherhood and invites you to behold him as your son and as your Lord. May the good news that comes to your heart today, mothers, begin with this, that God sees you and he knows you. "Woman, behold your son." Of course, now there's more to it than just that, isn't there? Because the statement that Jesus makes to Mary has such care and compassion woven into it that even as he realizes he is being taken from her, even as Jesus realizes that he is going to die in front of her eyes, in that moment of profound loss, he is inviting his friend, his disciple, John, to be a substitute. You see, he knows that Mary is crushed watching him suffer. He knows that bond between a mother and her son, a mother and her child, and that losing a child is not something that any parent can ever prepare for. And so Mary will need to continue to be a mother, to care as a mother, to reach out and to nurture someone in her life as God has given her that gift to do so. And so he says, "Behold your son," indicating John, indicating his friend. Jesus gives his friend to his mother as an adopted child because he knows that mothers need to mother. Again, there's something incredible in this moment that honors the work of mothers everywhere. Jesus knows somehow that the work of motherhood is, at least on one level, simply a long, painful process of losing your children. Of losing that which you love most dearly and which you've poured yourself into, your best work, has grown up and has become independent of you and perhaps sometimes even has turned their backs on you and have gone their own way. Training up children is sometimes a thankless job. And yet the work that you have done, the work that you have accomplished, is not lost on Jesus, is not lost on our Lord. I'm not trying to be sentimental here. I'm trying to simply name and articulate that which every mother knows, and that is that motherhood is intrinsically sacrificial, not by choice always, but because your children are going to be their own people. Mother, behold your son. Woman, behold your son. The text just drips with sacrifice and love, isn't it? Jesus is hanging there, literally bleeding out, suffering the burden of the sin of all mankind, literally bleeding out his life for all people, and yet in that moment takes special notice, takes special care to comfort his own mother. And in that moment, the sorrow, the grief of his mom is on display. Because it's her grief too, isn't it? That's the point here in this moment. It's not simply Jesus suffering, but it's Mary too, who has put her life's work into him. And all the wisdom and teaching and energy, all the moments of patience required as she probably tore out her hair and went through many sleepless nights as he was a baby, teething and doing what babies do, all of that finally climaxes and culminates in this moment. Truly, this is a mystery that we can just barely begin to understand. We can observe from afar, and yet there was something there. There was some connection that we probably will never truly comprehend. The point for mothers today that I would love to invite you to take home with you is that God sees your sacrifice. He sees how you have worked to give yourself away. And sometimes thanklessly and unrecognized, at least in the eyes of the world. Do you ever get that question that mothers are sometimes asked? So, do you work? Right, laughable it is. As if raising children were not work. God sees the pressure that you're put under when people ask you such thoughtless questions. And God sees also that the history books reflect more conquerors and builders of empires than they do mothers. And yet, where would we be? Where would we be if not for the time, the patience, the efforts of our own moms? There's one more thing from this statement, behold your son, that I'd like to invite you to see just before we go on to its complement, and that is this. Jesus gives his mother another son. Woman, behold your son. It's an adoption. An arranged adoption, isn't it? Now, this is an act which recognizes the enduring role of mothers, as I've already pointed out. Mary will continue to be a mother after Jesus is ascended to his Father. But it's also a little window here that widens the good news for all of us. Because in that act of substituting John for himself, in that act of inviting Mary to be a mother to one whom she did not bear physically, Jesus widens the concept of motherhood just a little bit. He pries open a window there for all who are perhaps yearning to be mothers, but never will be. What I hear Jesus saying in this moment also is that motherhood is bigger than we think. It is wider than just the relationship between a biological mom and her biological child. There is motherhood in adoption. There is motherhood in fostering. There is motherhood in being an auntie and a grandmother, and also a motherhood that happens for single women who, in the lives of some children at least, can call forth beauty and gifts that perhaps their own biological parents can't do. In other words, friends, Jesus knows that Mother's Day is more complicated and more nuanced than just a pleasantry, than just a lunch out, or some planted flowers. He knows the complexities of Mother's Day for those who are yearning without children, for those who are struggling in a time of infertility. Jesus knows, he sees, and he invites you then to be a mom anyways, to exert the gifts and to share the love that he has put in your heart with the children of the world that all need moms, some of whom don't have them. So to you, for whom Mother's Day is a mixed blessing, for you to whom Mother's Day is something to be tolerated and endured, perhaps, as even in our own family we had years like that, hear the good news of Jesus today. He sees you. He reverberates with compassion for you, and his heart overflows with love for you today. Jesus died and rose to make all things new. This is good news for moms and the rest of us. Finally, dear friends, as I bring my thoughts to a close today, we have Jesus saying, "Behold your son." We also have him saying, "Now behold your mother." This is the parallel statement, of course, that Jesus makes to John, his disciple. "Behold your mother." In other words, saying now, take care of her. Treat her like your own mother. I wonder if John was already caring for his own biological parents. He was probably of the age where his parents were needing that kind of care. If you think about the math, that Jesus probably was 33 years old at this time, it would have put Mary in her late 40s or early 50s. And, you know, according to average lifespans back then, that was probably the time that Mary needed some help. And I wonder if you've been taking care of, or if you have ever in your past taken care of your own parents in your own home. The Western and more modern reality is that we sometimes try to find a place for our parents to live. And yet, it wasn't always so. Behold your mother, and the text points out that John, from that moment, from that hour, took Mary into his own home. So we have this invitation to care for our moms, to take note of them, to behold them. This means stopping. It means waiting sometimes and taking a moment or an hour or perhaps a day or maybe even longer, a season, to behold our mothers, to care for them as they grow older, to honor the role that they've played. It's almost like the reversal that happens, you know, when we're children, our moms take care of us. And then when our moms or dads too get too old to take care of themselves, will we take care of them? Only you can know what that entails, whether that means taking your parents literally into your own home or whether it means caring for them in a way that you know that they need. The invitation to all of us is to take some time today to observe, to behold our mothers, to wait quietly with open eyes and open ears, and perhaps maybe a patient mouth, and to see not just glancingly, but patiently, to study and to contemplate and to truly honor the women around us, the mothers. So may you have opportunity to do that today, this Mother's Day. We are not perfect, none of us. No mother is, neither are any of us. We don't have to be. For there is one who is perfect in our place, our Lord, who sees perfectly, who loves perfectly, and who invites you today to live in his perfection, full of his life, honoring one another and embracing one another with the sacrificial love that he demonstrated on the cross for us. And so may that love, the love of Jesus, the compassionate Savior who sees you and knows you and who sustains your hearts, may that love fill and satisfy you today in ways, especially you mothers, in ways that the rest of us can watch from the sidelines. Amen. And now may the peace which passes your understanding and mine guard our hearts together in Christ Jesus while we wait for that day to come.